have special music from Linda Tippett. Perfect song for this time, and for any time, actually. But I'd like to go over to Job chapter 1, Job chapter 1 and verse 1. And Pastor and I discussed me preaching this, and I have preached through it before. and we thought, can we handle it? And because Job is a very difficult book. It's very intense, very raw. And but then I just kept thinking how perfect it is for us to be able to see what's going on here in Job chapter 1. I titled this The Man from Uz. And you'll see why I titled that in verse 1. But as we go through that, you'll see some background here about who this man is, who is this character, how is he described? You say, why do you want to preach through Job at this time? I'm just thinking, of all the stories that are online, and just reading through and trying to keep up to date with everything that's going on. And one of my favorite preachers, Kenny Baldwin, has the coronavirus and is in the hospital, and you think, why? Such a man of God, consistently preaching the word and caring for his people, and so much opportunity to care for his people right now, and he's in the hospital. Why? It's another pastor from Indiana. Same thing. Coronavirus. There was a church that I heard of down south at in Georgia, I believe it was, where an unsuspecting choir member had it and ended up giving it to over 40 different people in their church. And you think, wow, why? And there's a lot of people that would ask the question, why? Why this? Why now? Wouldn't this stifle the church gathering together? Obviously, it has. Wouldn't this stifle evangelism? I don't know. It might. It might not. Depends on how Christians treat this. Wouldn't this stifle the outreach? Wouldn't this stifle the inreach of the church? Wouldn't this stifle the teaching, the preaching? Wouldn't this stifle the singing? God, why would you allow good people to suffer? And it'll take us very long to get to the actual answer, unless you want to jump to the end, if you're that kind of a person and like to read the last page first. You can go and get the answer, and it'll be very helpful as you travel through Job. But this is very, very important for us to be able to understand as God deals with man, his man here, Job. So any background here as you read through this, I'll read verses 1 through 5 for you, and I believe it'll be on the video there for you. But it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she donkeys and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. So what's the background behind Job? Where was it placed as far as the timeline? And you really don't get that specifically. It's more implied through as we read through the information, even these first 5 verses, and you say, where's the background of Job? And it's actually believed that he would be living during the time of the patriarchs. And so you say, well, when is that? Well, around Abraham. And so if you actually are going through chronologically, somewhere right around the first 10 chapters, all of a sudden Job is going to be placed in there. 10-11 chapters, Job's going to be placed in there. So as you see chronologically, this is where he's at. And you say, why is this? Why would you say this? And you will see this in the fact that you find, even in these first 5 verses, that wealth was measured in animals rather than precious metals. And that would have been one of the characteristics of the patriarchs at that time. There's no reference to any organized religion per se. Like the patriarchs, he was a priest to his own household. You say, where do you find that? That's in verse 5. You'll find that he actually went before God, and he went to, he rose up early and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And you say, what happened? Well, he was acting as a priest for his family. And so you say, how long did he live? Job lived about 140 years after all of his calamities. And so this would be about the time frame of a patriarch as far as how long that they lived. And so when you're going through all of these things, this is why chronologically it would actually be back in Genesis that you would see in that time frame of Abraham that you would see the patriarchs there. So when you come back to this, that's a background. But again, what are we dealing with? Many ask, why do good people suffer? I mean, have you ever dealt with that? I've seen several good people in just my lifetime suffer through different things, through financial stress, through health issues, through relationship issues, through all kinds of issues. And you say, well, why would good people suffer? Shouldn't they be blessed with everything good in their life? And it's really how you define good there that you would be able to understand that a little bit more. But many would try to find this answer to this question, but are going to be constantly searching unless they look to the Word of God. And we do have the answer if you want to look forward to the end of Job, but it's not what you expect. In fact, to just end the curiosity there, and just kind of give you hope throughout this traveling through Job, it all comes back to our missions conference this past week. The theme being only a holy God. And really that's what got me through this missions conference. And all the craziness and the change up, the changing things right before a service starts, it was almost like musical chairs. And yet, I kept coming back to our God. How amazing He is. How awesome He is. And that's what's going to happen. And you're going to get this answer from the youngest guy in this book. You're going to find that God comes back and says much of what the younger guy says, plus, and you will just turn around in total awe of who God is. But in order to understand what's going on throughout this whole entire book, we need to understand who Job is. So, who is this man from us? In point number one, we find a passionate follower. And you say, where do you get this from? There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, verse 1. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Saying, going through all of that and trying to understand it, what's happening here? Here you find this man whose name was Job. This man is described as perfect. And you say perfect, that means he never did anything wrong. No, it's a blameless integrity. It's someone who people look up to because of their character. I mean, this is someone who's not opening himself up to blame. That's what it comes down to. It's someone who is matured spiritually. It's someone who is above par. He's looking to keep his reputation safe. And this almost reminds me of our vice president, in the sense of something that he often gets made fun of for. You see Mike Pence and how he has this rule that he doesn't go out to eat with another woman without his wife. He does not go alone with another woman. I think that's one of the best rules you could ever have as a man. You say, well, I would never do something immoral. Really? Never? I've seen a lot of men say that, and yet they eat those words later on. This is someone who looks to be blameless and acts blameless. He's a man of integrity. He's upright. He stayed straight. He didn't defy God's standards. This is very, very important how we follow after God. We want to make sure that we are upright. We're keeping along the path that God has given us. I find that when I'm following God's word, I find that it is much, I wouldn't say easier, in the sense of life is just easy. I wouldn't say it in that sense, but it's easier to stay on track if I'm listening to what He wants from me. It is so much easier to not have to deal with the consequences of my sin. And this is a man who was blameless and he was upright. He wanted to stay on the path that God had given him. You say, how would you know what the path is? Well, we have the Word of God right here. And for those of you that are stating, oh, I'm so bored during this quarantine from this shutdown, I found a fix. Word of God needs to be read and applied. And that's how we figure out how to stay upright. Another thing is that he fears God. He's aware of, revered, submitted to God's majesty. And even in what I pointed at earlier, only a holy God. It's someone who is actually understanding who God is. Someone who is having the right view of God. And someone who is saying, okay, God, you are in control of this. There's over 300,000 people that have contracted this virus to this point. And yet, God, you know the name of every single person. You know the hairs on their head. You know about and care about people. And God, your ways are much higher than my ways. And Lord, I would try to just fix this and get rid of it. But yet you have a purpose behind it for us to be able to acknowledge. And I'm just going to worship you. I found myself in that position this morning as I got here and tried to make a Facebook live video and encourage people to get ready for worshiping God. And I looked across these empty pews and it was quite difficult to see. And it's one of those things where I know I need God's people. I need these relationships. One thing I miss is congregational singing. Last week we sang, "It is well with my soul." And I just had to kneel down in the correct posture and ask God to show Himself mighty. To show Himself clearly to me through this time. And so when we coming back to this, this is a man who has a correct view of himself, of God, and his sin. This is something that we need to be able to recognize as a man of God. You go on in the next few verses and it talks about in verse 2 and 3, you find here a blessed steward. In verse 2 and 3 it says, "And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters." It's 10 children here. 7 boys and 3 girls. I could not imagine trying to handle 7 sons. I have 1 and yeah, he's enough. But 2 girls are enough for my budget, if you want to say. Job had a much bigger budget, so he could have 10 children. But he was blessed with these children. And you'll find in verse 4 that they actually care about each other, which is a pretty cool thing. But in verse 3 it says, "His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 5,000 yoke of oxen and 500 she-donkeys and a very great household." That this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. This man was the richest man He had all kinds of sheep, which meant clothing and food, camels, which meant transportation, oxen, which meant farming, donkeys, which were burden animals. He had all the land to sustain these animals. Can you imagine trying to sustain all of these? He had all the servants to manage these. He didn't do it all by himself. And so he was blessed so much to where he was the greatest in the East. I mean, he was a very powerful, blessed man, someone who was given much by God. And you know what I've noticed is those who do treat their small responsibility as a good steward will end up being given more responsibility, since they were proven with the small amount they were given much. And Job was very much that way, in the sense of he was a follower of God, but yet he was blessed in what he had. And yet that he turned around and worshiped God with all that he did have. And it wasn't his that he had found within himself and that he had gotten all by himself. He recognized that this was God who gave it to him, and he was a steward, one to manage that. Children that he had to manage. And even as you get into verse 4, and you'll find that he was also an interceding priest. But in verse 4, it says, "And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for three sisters to eat and to drink with them." And that's one of those things that obviously they had gained a love and respect for each other, which is hard to imagine for some of you who are seeing their children tear each other apart within this shutdown. But in that sense of maybe arguing and saying, wait, they actually liked each other? Yes, these children wanted to invite one another over and to have that fellowship. And I wonder where they got that from. Maybe a dad who cared about them. Because you see, even as he was a passionate follower of God, but as he was also that a blessed steward, he's an interceding priest, in the sense that as they were gathering, as he was watching them gather, it says, "And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them. He set them apart and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually." So he says, man, this guy had a lot of responsibility. He feared God. He loved God. He was keeping with what God wanted him to do. He eschewed evil. He rejected all those things that were opposing God. He turned from that. And so he rejected that. That seems to be a full-time job in my life, is to keep on the right path and to reject all those things that oppose God. That is a full-time job in my life. I don't know about you, but I have to keep working on that. But then all of these things that he was managing at the same time, his children, and even though they were adults, he still cared for them, and all of these animals and servants and the land, all these things that he was caring for. And yet every day he woke up early in the morning, he rose up early to go out and to worship God and to offer burnt offerings. Why? Because just in case his children sinned. Just in case. He wanted to offer an offering. God, would you cleanse them? Would you wipe that slate? Do we care for our children like that? Do we care for those that we steward, manage? God, just in case they're rejecting you, God, would you please watch over them? Would you please care for them? Would you please keep them together? Would you please? There's so many different things here where you could come back and see Job dedicating them to God, setting them apart. He rose up early. This wasn't at 10 o'clock at night. This was early in the morning. And I understand, because I am not a morning person, I understand that this would be something that you would have to get into a routine and a habit to wake up and to get going and to offer that and to focus on that. And just in case, he interceded on their behalf. This is a continual thing. It's not like a once every time I think about it. It's a everyday event. He consistently went before God and interceded on their behalf. How much do we care for those that we steward? It's the same way that I'm thinking right now during this time of all the people that aren't sitting in the pews here this morning or this evening. And just the fact of not being able to see them, how are they doing? What's going on? And yet I could call, but really, you know, what is going on? What are people struggling with? What's on their mind? What's burdening their hearts? What are the fears? What are the doubts? What are the sins? And going to him, going to God and saying, God, would you please care for these people? Intercede on their behalf. That's what I've got to do. Do I care enough? And so that's something, as we back up and we try to understand that, we need to understand the significance of who Job is and all that he's doing. And so this is one of those men that you would be looking up to and seeing their example, seeing how they're following after God, seeing how they're an interceding priest, seeing how they're a blessed steward. This is the man that you're saying, as you go through all of the rest and seeing all the things that he dealt with and how he responds, how overwhelming this would be for a natural human being. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how tough you are. This would be so difficult, as we all know, as we've looked at Job before, and we've heard the stories that Job lost almost everything. Almost everything wrong that could happen did to him around him. So why do good people suffer? Well, your answer again is at the end. But I want to understand that I need to be a man who has a proper view of self, a proper view of God, and a proper view of sin. And as I step back, and I might not have all that Job has, I don't have thousands of animals. I don't think I could handle all of them. And I don't have 10 children, but I am a very blessed individual. I have 3 awesome kids. I walked into their room this morning as they still laid asleep. And if you've never been a dad, you don't understand this. But when you walk in and you could see them peacefully asleep, you got to hold on to those pictures. We're just thinking of, wow, God gave me this. But it's a very daunting responsibility at the same time. And do I take this responsibility seriously? Am I a father? Am I a steward that continually cares for my children and intercedes on their behalf? God, would you help them? Would you bring them to you? Would you help them to see your goodness in spite of all the chaos that's going around? Help them to be able to understand what it is to know it is well and in Christ alone and victory in Jesus. All these songs that we hold dear. This is no deadbeat dad who can't accept his responsibility. He's accepting everything that God has given him as a good steward, an interceding priest, as a follower of God. But we all got to come back to that verse, those verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which would be very helpful during this time. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He shall direct thy in all thy ways. That means if I'm leaning at any point on my own understanding, I'm not trusting in him with all of my heart. And I'm fighting that reasoning. So this doesn't make sense. This is what God has called us to follow him with our whole entire being, with our whole entire self, that's saying, he's got this. God's got this. God knows, God sees, God is sovereign, and I can and will trust in him. This is what we need to recognize as one who follows after God. So yes, this was the introductory passage in understanding who Job is, but I'd like for you to ask yourself, who are you? And can this description be of you? If you're one that needs to seek salvation that Christ offers through dying on that cross, rising again, conquering sin and death. If you need to seek that, I'd encourage you. Just seek his face right now. You don't need to come to this church building in order to seek his face and ask for forgiveness, to seek repentance, a change of mindset. You don't need to come in here, but yet, if you do need a call, if you do need to connect, we're here to be able to help you understand what the salvation is, what it is to be a follower of God. So we offer that. And that's what you need to gain before any of these other things comes into play. But as a Christian, how passionate of a follower are you? Do you understand that you are a steward of all that God has given you? And how much intercession do you do on behalf of those who you care for? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much, again, for all that you do and what you're going to do. And Lord, that you give us this passage just to be able to look at and focus on and hopefully apply. And Lord, may this reach as many as we possibly can reach through this technology, knowing that we cannot gather physically together. God, we do love you. In Jesus' name, amen.